Hi there folks, Paul here, signing in for another video. Hello and welcome. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and join with me today. A brand new video series, a Bible study series in the book of Colossians. So I want to thank you for taking the time to join with me. I hope you'll stick with me all the way through. And I think you'll find, as I have dug in deeper now into the scripture, there are so many parallels between what was happening in the church at Colossae to what we now see in our modern church also. And so this letter is very, very relevant. And because of that, I want to, in this video, kick things off with just an introduction. And there's quite a bit here in this introduction, so bear with me as we go through it. But I do it because it's important for us, particularly in Bible study, to understand the history and the context. That's both place, purpose, and people, so that we can understand then the point and the purpose of the scripture. And I point out, I think I mentioned this in my in a study we did on James a little while back. There's a question that we often see asked. I first heard this a little while back. I think it was a small group, and we're doing, you know, a Bible study, and the pastor asked the question, well, what does this scripture mean to you? I think that question comes with too much of a potentially incorrect, loaded answer. And I mean that because our answers are colored by our past. We see the scripture through our own lives. Our answers are colored by our emotions. And we see the scripture through how we think and or feel, even in that day, in that week. Whereas I think a better question, and I'd like you to start asking this question, if we look at a section of scripture, the question shouldn't be, what does this mean to you? The question should be, what does this mean? Who was it written to? What was the place? Who were the people? What was the context? What was going on? And why did the Holy Spirit direct this letter to be written to them? And then we ask the question, why has God allowed and set this letter now into our collection of books, what we call the Holy Bible, now into the canon of Holy Scripture, for us, understanding the place, the person, the people, the time first? Then we look at, how is this relevant? What is our application in our modern day today? So let's look at the context. Let's look at the scripture. Let's look at the background to this letter which Paul wrote to the church of Colossae. First things first, it was written probably around AD 60, 62, somewhere thereabouts, during Paul's first imprisonment in Rome. That means we are about, and this is very rough, about 25, 30 years, somewhere in there, since Pentecost, since Christ died on the cross, his resurrection, ascension into heaven, and the Holy Spirit coming on. We are talking a generation. That's then when this letter was written. We know also that it has a companion, a sister letter, which is the book of Ephesians. And both were delivered, we see, from here and also in Ephesians by a fellow called Tychicus, as well as there was also the letter to Philemon, who it would seem was a resident part of the church here in Colossae as well. And Colossae being a small city in the church, in the area of what we would now call modern day Turkey, maybe 10, 15 kilometers perhaps from Laodicea. Yes, we know that one, of course, from Revelations. Is it chapter 2 or 3? The letter to Laodicea, which was again written a number of years later, probably another 30, maybe even 40 years later, perhaps. We look at what was happening now in Colossae, and then we can compare it to the warnings in the letter to the church of Laodicea. Interesting, just to get a bit of a follow on. And we also know, of course, from scripture that this letter would have been circulated around, which means the people at Laodicea would have received this and other cities nearby as well. Now, from a cultural sort of context point of view, Colossae, small city, so not a town, once much larger, very, very frequently used in the trade routes, very popular, now downgraded. There's a small Jewish community there. But what that means is that because of its original trade position, people coming to it from all around the known world, bringing their ideas, their thoughts, their philosophies with them. And Paul actually never visited the church here at Colossae. He wanted to. He wished that he could. We think it was founded. We know, actually, sorry, it was founded by Epaphras, who worked with Paul many different times. And as a whole, because of these different people which came in from different places, what it was known for, of course, was its philosophy, philosophical ideas and speculations. I mean, that's just the Greeks as a whole. You can assume that that's a given. Also, mysticism coming from, say, perhaps the Eastern religion and so on. And also syncretism, which is bringing all of these things together. So we've got Judaism in there. We've got paganism. We've got the early foundations of Gnosticism in there as well. The belief that, you know, salvation is sort of comes through knowledge. And that through the different levels, these secret levels, if you just go through the levels. Yes, and we see those things today too. So spiritually, the church at Colossae, it was a soup pot of just spiritual nonsense, really. And so Paul has to address this, and he has to address false teaching which has crept into the church. You know, that Jewish legalism, it's mixing its way in. The asceticism, which is the belief of when we deny ourselves, denying our flesh, that brings us closer to God. Angel worship, you know, the Gnostic beliefs which I mentioned beforehand, you know, which deny the full deity, the full godliness and sufficiency of Christ. This is what Paul was dealing with because he heard of these things, and that drew writing the letter. And one thing, just a little nerd thing for a moment, which I found interesting, was Paul uses nearly 30 different words here in this letter to the Colossians, not used elsewhere by him in the New Testament, to help explain the absolute beauty and majesty and magnificence of God. And he reaches out deep, deep in his understanding to explain this to them, just who God is, to encourage spiritual growth, to encourage maturity in Christ, urging them to remain rooted in Christ as their foundation. And so he talks about the preeminence of Christ. He talks about the redemption of Christ and Christ's work, how we are reconciled to God because of Christ. He warns against those false teachings and gives us practical examples of Christian living, how to live holy through work, through family, and so on. If I break that down, that whole thing, into a nutshell, he teaches the truth about Christ. He teaches, or he writes the truth about cults. And he writes about the truth about the Christian. Chapter 1, the truth about Christ. Chapter 2, the truth about cults. Chapters 3 and 4, the truth about the Christian. And if you can keep that in your mind as we go through this, I think that we'll learn a lot, and you will gain insight and understanding and grow in your faith in Christ because of it. And one of the things that I struggle with as we do Bible study, and I think everyone does, is that in our current culture, and I'm saying this up front so you understand the style that I'm going to be using as we go through this. In our current culture, we no longer think, we no longer learn what's called typographically, by the reading and by the study. Instead, we learn in 60-second chunks, push button, videography, and imagery. We have become lazy in our thinking. I'm just saying this. We have become lazy in our thinking that we find it hard to dig in and seek things out. And so when I say to you, thank you for joining with me, I say that heartfelt, honestly, thank you. And I will try and keep these to a shorter, reasonable distance of time. And even though we have some deep stuff to dig into, I mean, look at that last 5 minutes. There's a lot there in understanding. But by understanding, we can receive insight and wisdom in Christ, through the Holy Spirit, why we are reading this now. And as we go through it, you will see that our modern way of quick thinking, learning, push button, that wasn't the way in Paul's time. which is why he writes the way that he does. So we need to push past our internal barriers to study. That's what I'm asking you. Don't allow human philosophy to tell you that you can't do this. What is human philosophy relevant? Oh, well, you know, it's the personality profiles. I'm not a thinker, Paul. I'm a feeler. I'm not a thinker. You know, I'm popular sanguine. I'm not this, I'm that. And because of that, I can't do this. No, wrong, absolutely wrong. You are born again by the Holy Spirit of God. You are a new creation in Christ. You have the author of these words, the Holy Spirit, dwelling within. You absolutely 110% can learn from them. You've just got to pray about it and trust the Holy Spirit that He will bring and give you the desire to dig in deep. And last thing, we do see, I hinted earlier, some very strong parallels between the modern church and what we see here is what was going on in Colossae. And we struggle as teachers to meet the needs of the congregation. We struggle because so many, we just want to make them happy versus teaching the truth. I try and make this good for you, easy to listen to perhaps, but I hope, I pray that I will, over wanting to make you happy and feel good about yourself, teach you the truth. Let God do that work inside, that you are seeing His sufficiency in all things. I see this a lot in the modern church style of teaching, and I've learnt that it comes from what they are taught in Bible college so often, not always, of course, but so often. It's style, not substance. It's pleasing, you know, asking the question, is it pleasing or is it fact? Feelings, I found, they tend to take precedence. I don't understand why, and we go for this push-button Christianity. Let's put it up on the screen. You don't need to read your Bibles anymore. Let's make it as easy as we possibly can. And now we have these influences where we are, you know, social media, YouTube, where we are shaped by business coaches and life coaches. We're encouraged by self-help books and motivational seminars. And I came from this area. I've written the books. I've literally stood on stage and I preached the seminars. And I've stood in front of hundreds, in some cases, you know, 1,000+ people teaching business and business psychology. So I speak to this from authority and I speak to this from experience that I see this creeping into the church. And the modern church has become, you know, a blend, I'm sorry, I'm sad to say it and see it, of varied beliefs with psychology and psychological beliefs and concepts at its core, human thought, often prioritizing how we feel about something above sound doctrine and biblical truth. And that's exactly where these people in the church at Colossae were at. Exactly. That's why we need this letter. So let's dig in, shall we? Chapter 1, verse 1. Paul writes, he identifies himself straight up, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so right up front, we see here an apostle by the will of God, Paul. Straight up, he puts his stamp of authority on this because, well, he needs to correct some doctrinal error. Verse 2, to the saints, now that's us also, and faithful brethren in Christ, also us, who are in Colossae. Question, before we move on. Have you ever given thought to the fact that we also have two addresses? I mean, we are in Christ. And for me, here also in Australia, I'm both a citizen of heaven and a citizen of Australia. we are in Christ, and maybe also in Brisbane. We are in Christ, and we are also in Sydney, or Maroochydore, or Mergen, or wherever you may be. You are in Christ, and you are also in wherever you are. That's us. Have you ever met someone with dual citizenship? New Zealand and Australia happens a lot. England and Australia happens a lot. Yes, that's us, dual citizens. But we need to understand who we are in Christ, that Christ has precedence. So Ephesians 1, verse 18, let me read this. May the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance to the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power in us. This is God's favor. This is God's work through his son, Jesus Christ. This is who it's referring to. And that here, Paul, again, with this co-letter to the Ephesians, writing that you and me, our eyes might be enlightened, opened, that we might know, that we might understand the hope of our calling. Peter also wrote in his first letter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope." Take note of that word. "Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved for you in heaven." That is our hope. And one of the things that we will see that is so crucially important as we go through this letter is that we have our hope in Christ, in his work, what he has done for us, what he is doing in us. And there are, I don't know, 100 or more other passages in Scripture that speak to this beautiful hope that we have, the glory that is in Christ for our future. And so Paul writes here now, back in Colossians verse 2, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Grace first, peace second. Both of them coming from him because of who we are in him. This is what I want you to understand. This is one of the key themes of chapter 1, who we are in him. Verse 3, "We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all of the saints, because of the," here it is again, "hope which is laid up for you in heaven." And if you don't mind making notes and references and underlines in your Bible, underline each of these. "Give thanks," as in we give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ, to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks. "Praying always," underline praying always. "Your faith," since we heard of your faith in Christ. "Your love," we heard of your faith and we heard of your love. "The hope," because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Where have we heard these before? 1 Corinthians 13. You're familiar with this section of Scripture from verse 11. "When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face when we meet our Lord. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am also known." Verse 13, 1 Corinthians 13. "And so now abide faith, hope, love." These three. The greatest of these is love. And we all start out, folks. We all start out as children in Christ. We are all starting out on milk. Or moving forward from this day, we're going to start getting into some meat. And if you haven't really chowed down on good spiritual meat before, this is going to be exciting. And yes, you will need to perhaps push past a few barriers to just spend that little bit of extra time with me as we go through these. I promise you that if you do that in prayer with the Holy Spirit, oh boy, yes, He will make it so beautiful and wonderful in your life as you see and as Christ reveals Himself through the Word to you. Yes. And so we see here this letter to church at Colossae. It's directed to those who thought that they were wise. This brings in to the others into this group. And yet in truth, they were just babes in Christ without full assurance, without a full strong foundation. They were unable to discern the differences between the word of truth versus the words of men. And I think it's a trap that many of us fall into today. And it's why I wanted to do Colossians next in my Bible study. So we're going to go on that same journey, the same journey that Paul takes through to them. We're going to learn a bit to be grounded in our faith in Christ, our hope for His work in us to our future, and this is key, our love for all of the saints. Despite what was happening in that mishmash, that spiritual soup pot, here in the church at Colossae, despite all of that, Paul writes to them and says, "We give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you because we heard of your faith, we heard of your love for the saints, and the hope which is laid up for you in heaven." Praise God. And so we are going to finish this video here today. Thank you so much for joining with me. Please come back for the next one. This is exciting stuff, guys. Yes, it is really. It's amazing. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And I know that the Lord will bless you through it also. God bless you, my friend. We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.